Hey everybody, welcome to Cub Chat Live. I'm Tamara Christensen. I'm going to be your host today. And I'm so excited about today's meeting. And I'm going to shout out some folks that are already on. I think you guys were on before we even came on ourselves. Hello to Pac151 from Scottsdale. Rusty. Hello, Rusty. You're always such a great supporter. Rob, it's good to see you. Happy Friday from Philmont. Rob, you've been teasing me for weeks about going to Philmont. Oh, I think Glenn and I are both just a little bit jealous that you're at Philmont, but please enjoy it for us. So today I'm so excited because I get to spend 30 minutes with the man, the myth, the legend, Glenn Pounder, Scouting America, Senior Vice President and Chief Safeguarding Officer. That title is so impressive, and I am so delighted that you're here. Thank you for, I know this is a busy season for you. I wish it wasn't a busy season for you, but it is. And I so appreciate your willingness to spend 30 minutes with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. It's probably long overdue, if I'm honest. And I'm delighted to serve as the Chief Safeguarding Officer here at the National Office at Scouting America. Although this is not the National Office, I'm actually working from home this afternoon. A little bit about my background. You probably figured this out already, but I'm not originally from Texas. I'm originally from England, and I've been American for less years than most of our cubbies have been alive, right? Because I've only been American for just over a year. So I am now American, but I have been in the States since 2012. I served the Queen in law enforcement for 31 years, although I did join very early. I joined at the age of 17. And I also served at a different nonprofit before I came here to Scouting America just over 2 years ago. So delighted to be here in my role as Chief Safeguarding Officer. I'm responsible, but not on my own, thankfully. I'm responsible for helping to prevent serious harm and abuse and exploitation of all of our kids. And I say I'm not on my own because we have a huge team involved in that effort. I can talk a little bit more about that in the next half an hour, I'm sure.
Awesome. It's amazing. I was going to ask you, were you 12 when you started? Because you feels like you're aging very well for being so long in this particular job. So when we were at National Annual Meeting, and I've had the pleasure of listening to you speak, I don't know, four or five times through the various years. And one of the things that came out at National Annual Meeting that I was super excited about, that I had seen teasers for and videos for, the new Safeguarding Youth Training. I know, so you're talking today, I'll tell you a little secret, Glenn. The people on this that are viewing this are like the top 10 percenters of our Cub Scout leaders.
Awesome.
These are the people who on Friday, while we were trying to travel back home on the airport, these people were out taking your safeguarding youth training. So just a quick thing. If you've taken the new safeguarding youth training, can you please pop a comment in the chat and tell us what you thought about it? And Glenn, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, thank you. And thanks all of you guys who've jumped on the new safeguarding youth training already. So I took the previous training, which was, I think you guys know, was known as YPT, before I came to interview with the scouts. And I was a little bit flabbergasted that the training was the way it was. Technically there was nothing wrong with YPT, but it was kind of miserable. And the exam question for the new training really was to make it more empowering. That was one of the key things that we wanted to achieve, to include something around SAFE, and I'll maybe talk about that a little bit later, but also to include the people who matter the most in the training. And by that I mean, in the new training, the barriers are delivered by our volunteers, because our volunteers are the most important part of that prevention effort. So it was key for me to try and include volunteers in the actual training itself. so that each barrier is explained by a volunteer in a scouting environment, actually mostly in scouting uniforms as well. So I hope that we were able to achieve that with the new training. But you know what? You know, we're on a journey with this training. It's the current version we have. And as the years go by, I'm sure we'll look to improve on it again. You know, we're never going to be done with regards to what we do in safeguarding. We often say we're on a journey in this space because as we learn and understand more from our colleagues, our partners, from law enforcement, academia, and others, we'll continue to work on the training as we need to.
That's so important. And we were talking a little bit, even like there's so many different kinds of things that are constantly coming up that we're having to deal with. Like, I don't think we had social media. We didn't have all this stuff way back in the day, right? But it's here. And there's going to be new things that come up that we haven't thought about or we don't know about now. So it's so cool that you're so connected with your colleagues across the world, really, and that you can share those kind of learnings and that we benefit from that as an organization.
Yeah, and you know what? Even with young children, we just need to be mindful and wary of what they're doing online. Not scared, like that's wrong. And I think we, society, made a mistake a few years ago trying to put fear into the minds of children with regards to the online space, and that's not a good idea. You know, when you and I were kids, people, you know, our parents were worried about us crossing the road, right, when they weren't there. And it's one of the major things we learned as kids was how to cross the road. And, you know, obviously different for younger kids, but as kids get a little bit older, they're going to be online themselves. And we just need to empower them with the right information. That's crucial. But also let them know that if they make a mistake, we'll figure it out. There's nothing they can do online when they're just going about their business online. It can be a dangerous place. And if they make a mistake, they just need to know that the adults around them, scouting parents, you know, other adults in scouting, will have their back. And one of the key components of the new training is that, to your point, the online aspect, and things have changed radically just in the last few years. So there's a new focus on that as well.
I've heard you say this a couple of times about that, where, you know, we need to teach kids that if they make a mistake online, we still got them, right? It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because they think, oh my goodness, their world is over, right? And that we don't want that. That's exactly what we don't want to have happen.
Exactly what we don't want. And, you know, you know, sometimes people use the phrase, well, criminals go where the kids are, right? And that's not technically really true in terms of youth serving organizations, especially places like Scouting America, where we have highly trained volunteers and professionals. But on the online space, it is absolutely true. Criminals certainly go where kids are online. And I worked a lot of those cases when I was still in law enforcement. And it's true that they try to target kids online. And if they, one of the key weapons they use is that fear of saying to a kid, well, you've made a mistake now, and now I've got you. And, you know, kids need to know, well, actually you haven't, because the adults around me are smart. They know that sometimes kids might make a mistake online and we'll figure it out.
I love that message. I think that's really important. I see some comments here. I'm going to throw into Rob. Of course, he's our superstar. He's here every week, Glenn. He said that their council commissioner put out a challenge for all their commissioners, even if they just renewed their YPT like he had, and he completed it last week and he likes the new training.
I see what Rob's doing here. He's going to try and get me to send him a patch, which I'll do, because I love what Rob's saying here, because people have asked me quite a few times about, well, when do I have to take this training? And, you know, I was actually looking at using some AI to create a picture of our office in Irving with people in scout uniform outside with pitchforks and burning torches. Like, if I'd said, can you take it immediately? I was like, it's probably not the right thing to do. But I love what Rob says there, because I have been trying to encourage people, hey, you know what? If you're just taking YPT, you'll get your full year through to May 2026. But my ask is please take it sooner if you can, because there is new material in there. somebody said to me just yesterday, actually, it lasts almost 90 minutes, but it doesn't feel like that because it's brand new, you know, because it's engaging. Hopefully people find it that way. So yeah, if you can take it sooner, then please do.
Awesome. And then he's obviously better than the previous YPT. A shout out to Wendy. Wendy's also with us a lot from Elgin, Illinois, Troop 38, PAC 38. Brian, another frequent flyer of Cub Chat Live. He says that they insist that all their parents take YPT when they join and all their leaders take it annually. I think that's a great idea, right? I feel like so many times, you know, adults don't know, like they don't think through this stuff, right? They're used to handling their own kid. And sometimes it's not obvious what the best ways to do this. It's not, it makes total sense when you go too deep leadership. Well, once you explain it like that, yeah, that does make sense. But to a parent, they may not think about that. Yeah. So many good things for parents to know about.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what we're going to try and do is have the modules available to just look through, hopefully via YouTube or some platform where people say, oh, what did they say in that part? And they can just go and look at it, which would be useful. But actually, with regards to the new training, we'll be working on it here in the next few months. After you've taken the full Safeguarding Youth Training or SYT, the following year, you can take a refresher and then take the test. So the refresher will be around 15 minutes. So you're not going to be compelled to do the same hour and a half every single year. And over the next few years, as things change, we'll probably look to refresh the main training again. So I don't know when yet. We'll have to see how things progress in the next year or two. But I can't see it being more than 5 years. We'll have another Safeguarding Youth Training. So SYT2, something like that.
I think I heard people cheering. Did you hear that, Glenn? That they don't have to take it. When you said that at National Aid meeting, I don't know if you heard this, but like there was like a lot of cheering, and it might have been me. I was pretty excited about it. A couple more shout outs. Charles says he wishes that this had been available in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s. Me too, Charles. I mean, I think this is where it's at. Todd says, hi from Troop 601 in Farmingdale, New York. We've got Dan here. Look, that sounds like a great idea. Gina, I won today. I got to be with Glenn. We had like a little arm wrestle in the back. Gina could have beaten me easily, but she was nice and let me do this today. Thank you for tuning in, Gina. Heather, happy Friday from Troop 1 in Idaho. And then Dan, refresher training is always a good idea to stay current, particularly when you may not face issues regularly. And of course they could take the whole thing again, right? And review it. And I love the idea that your modules, you're thinking about letting people use the training as a resource. That's so wise. Because why would you keep all that training just together in a big training program when people could use a refresher in one little section, right? So smart.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And you know, you guys who haven't taken the training yet, you'll see, I mean, all of the subject matter experts are phenomenal, Dr. Berg and also Dr. Sharon Cooper does a wonderful job of explaining about the issue of bullying. She does a great job, and that lady, for anyone who gets to meet her in person, it's like meeting an angel. She just oozes goodness. She's so smart, very on the level, you know, calm, real wonderful lady, and actually her son's an Eagle Scout, so she wanted to give back as well, which is again wonderful.
That's amazing. So how did you find the people? Are these just considered subject matter experts in the field, and it was obvious who you chose? Did you think?
There are certain topics, of course, we need to make sure we cover well, and we've got such a wonderful network, as I said earlier. You know, I have the honor to lead here at the national office, but it's not about me. We have a wonderful team of experts who want to help us, a youth protection committee, a safety committee. So, you know, we have literally hundreds of years of experience to rely on. And it's just a case of bringing that all together, packaging that in a way that empowers our parents, crucially, and our wider volunteer network to get on and enjoy the magic of scouting without being terrified, frankly, right? It's like, right. You know, we know when we follow our procedures, things are wonderful. That's what we know for sure. And, you know, it's right to just be, we're in the trust but verify business, right? We have a great program. We have a great approach. We don't need to be frightened, but we just need to have that, okay, we follow these procedures. And I'll share something with you guys. We need to get approval for our training, and because we're based in Texas, it goes to a place down in Austin. They only had one question. Their question was, oh, where does it say in your training about how you limit the amount of one-on-one time between adults and youth? I was like, we don't. To your earlier point, we have two deep leadership all the time, right? So we avoid those one-on-one scenarios, and that is key. And that's why, to the person who asked about the wish this had been available in the 70s, 80s, 90s, so do I. Like, if it had been available in the 60s, 70s, 80s, we would have avoided all the problems of the past, frankly.
Agreed. It's amazing how much progress has been made in this space.
Yeah, not just in this country, not just in Scouting America. You know, I'm originally from the UK. The UK did a very extensive study into this area. It took 8 years. It cost $250 million to produce this report. And again, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s were a terrible time in the UK for institutions, and people didn't know, frankly. And people found the topic difficult, let's be honest as well, right?
I think they found it difficult. And I think, I don't know, like, I think about my husband's parents, and they were so kind and so great. And I don't think they thought that their neighbors were doing anything, right? They just, yeah. You know, yeah. It wasn't something that they talked about it, but it wasn't, they just didn't suspect it, right? They couldn't have fathomed that this was going on, right?
That's right. And of course, what, as the kind of slightly strange thing is, as people became a lot more aware, well, what happened in the early 90s? The internet and these things, right? So the nature of the threat changed. And of course, the online space is sometimes, for good reason, focused on strangers contacting our children, because that does happen. But we also just need to be mindful of, even online, it could be somebody they know as well. So we have that balanced in the new training as well.
Yeah, good stuff. Very good stuff. And we get a lot of good comments from people. If you were going to give advice to our leaders on how best to safeguard the youth that they serve and that are in their care, what would you say?
I think, again, one of the crucial aspects of what we do is an acronym called SAFE, supervision. You know, what everything we do is based around that supervision aspect. And certainly for young kids, of course, they're going to have a much closer supervision than some of the older programs. But the rest of that acronym, assessment, fitness and skills, equipment and environment, that small acronym SAFE is actually what can help us keep kids safe. And certainly for the older kids, of course, you know, I said this on a podcast last week, actually, that's coming out in a couple of months. Kids need risk. The older kids need risk. It's how we learn. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people watching on today might have done the same as me. When it was light in England, I would go out with my friends. And I wouldn't get home until it was dark. We didn't have plastic bottles. We didn't walk around with those. Somehow we survived. But we learned how to be safe, of course, as well. So obviously the wonderful thing about scouting is it's all about controlled risk, right? I mean, kids have risk, but certainly for those high adventure activities, it's very controlled. When we have those controls in place, we know everyone has a wonderful time. And the other thing I was saying on the thing last week is, you know, it's just so awesome. I was lucky enough to get to the last Jamboree in 2023 to see kids in 2023, not on their devices, but trading patches, was just like, wow. It's like stepping back to 1955. It was so wonderful. And again, you know, there are some aspects of the online space are actually fine for kids as well. And I'm not someone who says keep kids offline all the time. Like, there are some aspects of it where you're like, well, you know, sometimes a community, I mean, look at us able to connect like this in ways that were impossible just 20 years ago. So that not everything online is a terrible thing. It's all about learning how to manage it safely, right? The same way we do in the rest of scouting, frankly. There was one other thing I did want to add about the Safeguard Youth Training, because it might well be people on here who picked up on it.
I was gonna circle back. I had it circled for me. You weren't gonna get off the hook.
Yeah, well, I was gonna try. There was an aspect of the training where we didn't make it clear that no change has been made to the Cub Scout exclusion. And we've tidied that up now in the training. And thankfully, as you guys probably know, there's a lot of opinions in scouting. We got them.
What? So
we got them quickly. And thankfully, we were able to take care of that quickly as well. But I really appreciate the feedback. And so, yeah, nothing has changed with regards to that Cub Scouting.
And I think it's particularly around the tenting policies, the tenting guidelines, and so that I'm so glad you did that, because like I said, these are the people who are those top 10% that went on Friday while we were traveling back home, and they were taking the training, and then immediately I saw the Facebook post. I'm like, oh no, because I hadn't had a chance to even take it yet.
and I think that mirrors something I actually mentioned at the national annual meeting, which was. This might not be a surprise to most people. We're not perfect at national. We do our best, but that was one wrinkle that we missed. So again,
no, and I think
might be a surprise to a lot of people. I don't know.
I think people think you guys are perfect. No, okay. But I really appreciate your willingness to, like, sometimes, like, we just need to, I call it kind of, we launch things, but it's not like, oh, it's in stone for the next 10 years, right? We can't change anything. We can maneuver and make it work, right?
Yeah, I love that you said that. And we have a lot of meetings and conversations in the national office, and we were talking about some policies just this week. And I was like, you know what? The policies are there to serve us. They were not written in tablets of stone. If we need to change them, we'll change them. And we've made some changes in the past, and we'll continue to make changes. I guess one of the keys to that, though, is trying to make sure we communicate them properly. And I think this helps in that regard as well. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We got a lot of feedback here. It's for everyone's safety to keep scouts safe. Absolutely, Todd. Totally agree with that. Brian, he's so good. He's in with us, everyone. He's like the strength of our organization. And we've said it about 1,000 times. There's no other youth serving organization that will hand a kid an axe and teach them how to use it and tell them to go crazy with it, right? And then he's like, I'm doing high tech outdoors with my AOL tonight, which requires online access, you know, and you can't get away from online stuff. We don't want to, we're not saying that at all.
No, not at all.
We need a balance, right?
we need a balance. We just need to know where the guardrails are and go and enjoy, frankly. And I love the thing about the axe. I was just saying, if we try to imagine the number of serious incidents that have been prevented because millions of scouts have learned to be safe around firearms. Like, that number's got to be so high in the United States that, you know, kids have learned to be safe in scouting around firearms. But you can't measure the preventables, right? So, again, you know, I love what you guys are saying with regards, it's everyone's responsibility. That's the same thing I say all the time. It's an honor to have this job at the national office, but it ain't about me. It's about what you guys do at the local councils, at the local units and the troops and everything else. So again, I really appreciate everything you're doing.
And I love that you mentioned the safe checklist. You know, I know these people, the viewers that are these top 10%, you know that there's the safe checklist is built into every adventure. That's not by accident. And it's not because Glenn had pitchforks and like, we're just trying to beat us up to make us happen. Yeah. We did that because we knew that's what we should do. And so that's there. That's built into the program. It's on the deck of cards that that you guys are going to see, the DEN deck. It has all the safety stuff built into it. So,
well, the chair of the safety committee says really good things about you guys.
And yay!
He basically says, yeah, at the Cubbies, they're leading the other programs because they've built in safe in a way that hasn't been done elsewhere. So that's pretty cool, right? I have a safe coin here for whoever I need to send one to.
Not everyone.
Everyone would like a safe coin. But yeah, it's awesome, right? And thanks again, you guys, for building it into the program, and then it becomes second nature. And we do have a great value of safety in scouting, of course we do. So yeah, that can only help.
But the culture of safety, I think, is something, you know, it's not just about doing a safety moment. It's about thinking about, you know, those near misses, thinking about, oh, I'm glad we didn't do it that way because here we are, we're in a better place. And then Brian, he's like, safe is new to me in the last year. It makes keeping track of safety concerns so easy. And he's like, I'm right here. I'm obviously, Brian is you know, probably lobbying for that coin, but I'm not saying that. But it's so good and it's so easy. And I think it's easy for people to go through that. We're not asking you to fill out a 15-page report.
Yeah.
You know, it's not needed. It's
100%. And again, I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, as far as is possible and in an age appropriate way, bringing youth into that conversation as well. You know, my approach is a safeguarding triangle where Scouting America forms one part of the triangle, the youth and the parent. And that's a really strong thing. You know, we don't get in between the youth and the parent. And, you know, kids are smart, as we know. So we have a youth advisory council. We've started taking advice from them. And we need to listen to kids to make sure what we're doing lands with them. I was lucky enough to be at Philmont last year. And I think I can still call him a kid compared to my age. He was 18. He's working in the backcountry. And for those of you who have not been yet, I mean, it's so magical. People have told me, and I think until you get there, you don't really get it, to be honest. But the wind was blowing through the trees. It was kind of like being at the ocean. And I was like, wow. I said, this is awesome. And I said to him, hey, he was like, what? I said, you want to swap jobs? He was like, no. He said, get out of here. So I had to come back to Irving, and he stayed at Philmont. But yeah, good for him. And you know, he was telling me there's no doom scrolling here. So again, kids are smart; they get it.
They do. Okay, so Dan says safety has to be part of the culture. Totally agree, Dan. It's not safety first, but safety is part of the process. I love that. Jason's saying the new training is a little confusing for Cub parents about the allowing parents of any gender in a tent with their child under Cub rules. Did that get changed too when you updated it?
That was the key thing.
That was the key change.
Yeah, because that really is, that's the Cub Scout exclusion. So that rule applies for Cub Scouts, and that did not change. But we did tweak the training to make sure we weren't saying that includes Cub Scouts, nothing.
So changed. Jason, when you go through it again, we're not suggesting you do that tonight, but if you go through it again,
you will see that.
See if it reads better for you, if it's less confusing, because they did make that change for that purpose. And gosh, it's 3:28. It's been such a pleasure, Glenn. Like, I'm so lucky to be able to hang out with you. And I want to tell everybody to tune in next week, because we have James is going to cover the STEM adventures, technology in particular, across the ranks. So that's going to be amazing. And then on June 27th, you know, the last time I was here, everyone in the chat was telling me how great the adventure bases, the family adventure bases are at our three high adventure bases and how awesome it is. And then everyone was bragging, Glenn, that they had gone to all three of them and that I haven't. I only went to one, but and they were like, what up, everybody? So like, there's a whole bunch of people who've gone to all three, Glenn. Isn't that crazy? So they said we should have a show on that. So guess what? We're going to have a show on that with Andrea Watson, who's out at Philmont on June 27th. So please, like, you know, join us for that. And Glenn, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. I think you're amazing. I thank you for everything you do. And yeah, I had kind of figured that you weren't from Texas, but it's good that you were able to clear that up for me. And I always spend a little time at the end of every meeting, and hopefully our leaders out there don't mind me saying this, but thank you. Thank you to all of our leaders. You know, I think that Cub Scouts is absolutely magical. Being able to go outside, being able to spend time with your family, being able to learn from other adults, this is magical. But the magic of Cub Scouting doesn't happen because Glenn is cool. And it doesn't happen because of me or the National Cub Scout Committee. It happens because of you. It happens because you bring the magic of Cub Scouts alive to the youth that you serve, and you keep them safe, and you give them s'mores, and you do the campfires, and it's awesome. It's awesome what you do, and I can't thank you enough. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope everyone has a great weekend and a great rest of your week. And Glenn, thank you again. And you're going to come back because Glenn has this really cool patch program that he's going to talk about. And he promised me he would come on and talk to you guys about that. So I will schedule that with Glenn and let you guys know what date he's available to do that with us. And super appreciate you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.